The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to all our listeners. This is the Business Buzz right here on VAR FM 88.1. My name is Mdiwa Mob Justice Kavaza and I'll be your host for today's show, keeping you informed, entertained and educated about the world of business, the economy and commerce until about 8 p.m. Who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated and intrigued. For today's show, it is the last Thursday of the month of February, which means in Business Buzz tradition, it's time. It's that time of the month where we take time to celebrate a young person in South Africa, 35 years and below, who is doing the things in their particular field of endeavor. And for today, it's going to be a very interesting one because we have Bongani Frank Masilela in studio with us. He's an entrepreneur and also considers himself to be a casual traveler and backpacker as well. So that's what that's who we're going to be talking to. He is the chief executive officer at Chimong, which is a social enterprise that specializes in debating, public speaking, consulting and leadership training. So that's what we're going to be talking about. But before we get into all of that, we're going to be getting into the business wrap, the support of the show, where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news, and then we'll get into the state of your 100 Rand in our Buffalo Index. Remember that you can keep in touch with us, join in the conversation, tell us what you think of our brand new heavy or any of the topics raised. On Facebook, we are VAR FM, that's Voice of Wits, and then you can also find our other Facebook page, that is the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAR FM, and our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And you can also find our podcast on iono.fm together with our other content on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So that's how the show is looking like. It's going to be quite an interesting one. As I said, we are here until 8 p.m. Otherwise, don't turn that dial. This is the Business Buzz.
You don't have to be a liker to like things.
Oh my God.
So like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
At VAR FM, in brackets, Voice of Vids. Business Rap with Ken Swetman.
It's time for us to get into the top trending business and economics news for the week. And on the line, we're joined by financial expert Ken Swetman to unpack some of these for us. Ken, how are you?
I'm very well this evening, and yourself?
I'm doing all right. I think just to start the discussion off, I'm sure that the last 2 days, anything or anyone can talk about has been the budget. What were your takeaways from this week's budget, and what stood out for you?
You're 100% right. The biggest business story of the week is obviously the budget speech. I was amazingly surprised. It was a very pro-growth budget, which I suppose it was a little surprising because we should maybe be looking at austerity measures in South Africa. But yes, instead of tax rises like we expected, we all expected an increase in VAT,
yeah,
and possibly an increase in personal tax. Instead, no increase in VAT, and in fact, a reduction in personal income tax, which was a great surprise to, I think, most people. But that was taken away from us by the usual increase in fuel tax. And, of course, for those of us who like to have a drink now and again, an increase in the beer, wine and spirits and, of course, cigarettes, what we call the sin tax as well. So it was very much a give to back to the consumer with one hand and take away with the other. But the biggest thing to take out of the budget was instead of trying to collect more tax, the minister was very... It was trying to make the point of cutting back on government expenditure. In other words, trying to reduce government expenditure.
Yeah.
And in fact, particularly in the government salary bill. That doesn't wash well with the unions, of course, particularly COSATU and the government services unions. But what will happen there remains to be seen. But COSATU called it a declaration of war on labor. So... Yeah, very interesting times coming up over the next weeks and months, no doubt about it.
Before we delve into COSATU's statements, because that has been a big talking point, I'm keen to hear your thoughts around the give and take that you highlighted earlier on. You're not putting up taxes on the one hand, which means, I guess, consumers are saving, but at the same time, there's that increase on sin taxes, for example. The net effect of these policy decisions, will it really increase, revenue for the fiscus, or save revenue for the fiscus? I guess, essentially, will it actually put the fiscus in a better place?
Well, the minister is trying to save money for the fiscus is actually in cutting back of the government wage bill, which is already taking up almost one third of total government spending. What is sad, and what I found really sad about the budget, is that he gave us a prediction of collections of taxes and a prediction of government expenditure. And once again, government is going to have to go into more debt to meet their expenditure. And that is going to increase debt payments as well. So the what they're throwing at us as personal consumers in the form of tax savings is really just a small bone. It's not going to make a great difference to saving or on the government fiscus. But if he can get his government spending correct, if he can get his savings right, as he predicts, then that will make a great saving. And that's where he's pointing his arrow at the moment. He's looking at savings on government expenditure rather than collecting more taxes, because we really are, for want of a better term, taxed to death in South Africa. We are taxed almost as much as we can be taxed. And collecting more taxes is not going to stimulate growth. And on the flip side, we need to stimulate growth as well in this country. So it was a fair budget. Difficult one to say whether the ratings agencies will like it or not. That time will tell over the next few weeks with that. But it was not a bad budget under the circumstances. We have to give the minister that.
Okay. So a fair budget, that's what Ken is saying. But apart from, the budget, is there anything else that's actually happened this week, in the markets or the economy that you'd like to highlight?
Well, yes, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, you'll realize now in a minute, absolutely, our market has dropped drastically this week. A 4.25% drop on Monday, another drop of just under 3% today. Our market has dropped by almost 7% this week alone. And that's got nothing to do with our budget. That has got to do with the threat of the coronavirus on world markets. It's not only the South African market, it's world markets that have dropped very rapidly. And of course, the coronavirus, although fortunately we've not had any cases in South Africa, China, who is one of the world's biggest economies, has had many cases. And of course, it's affecting the Chinese economy, which comes across the whole of the world economy. So we've seen very, very poor markets over the last 2 or 3 days. On the flip side, the rand has weakened as well. And it's not been a good time in the markets. Weakening rand, dropping markets. Yes, it's not been good news on that side, but like I said, nothing to do with our budget, I'm afraid.
Okay, so that's been us on the line with our financial expert, Ken Swettenham, highlighting the fact that this week's budget from Minister Tito Mboweni was quite fair, especially since the taxes weren't raised, but at the same time, there was a give and take that was done there, so it was a fair budget, and he said that he was pleasantly surprised there. The big issue coming out as well being the cuts and possible savings in the public sector wage bill, up to 160 billion rand in cuts on that side. So we wait and see how that's going to progress. The other thing he highlights is that there's been a 7% drop in markets this week, totally unrelated to what's been going on with the budget, mainly to do with the coronavirus scare around the world that is affecting global markets. So that's been it in terms of our business wrap. On the other side of this, we get into the state of your 100 rand.
Business Wrap with Ken Swetman. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to tell you the state of your 100 Rand in our Buffalo Index. And for today, since we have a man who specializes in debate, public speaking, consulting and leadership training, we decided to just focus on one of these, which is public speaking. And, you know, for those that are not, you know, that want to get or improve their own public speaking skills, your 100 Rand can get you maybe a fifth of a Toastmasters membership, because that's around 500 Rand per half year, and that's what it's looking like on that side. The other thing you could possibly do is to find yourself some public speaking classes, and at the moment you might be able to get 3.5 buffaloes or 350 Rand. Could get you 4 hours in a mastering public speaking and communications course. Otherwise, you know, for 15 Rand more, around 3.6 buffaloes, you could get 10 hours of training and get yourself a public speaking certificate. On the high end, if you want some proper professional public speaking classes, we're talking a real commitment in time. You know, you're really out there trying to make speeches to the UN and the like. You might find yourself, you know, paying 210 buffaloes, which is 21,000 Rand. So that's been it in terms of our Buffalo Index. On the other side of this, we get into the main topic.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz. OFM 88.1. You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is the Business Buzz. Remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. We are VOW FM, that's Voice of Wits. And you can also find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VOW FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So for today, it is the last Thursday of February 2020. It is our first brand new heavy, that is the time of the month where we celebrate a young person in South Africa, 35 years and below, who is doing the things in their industry. So for today, we are joined by Bongani Frank Masilela, who is a Wits University alumni and actually calls himself an entrepreneur, casual traveler, and a backpacker. He is the chief executive officer at Chemong, which is a social enterprise specializing in debating, public speaking, consulting, and leadership training. They're actually focus on preparing school learners for the 21st century of work, academia, and business through innovative educational products and services. And then their offering also includes online learning platforms that actually seek to teach skills such as critical thinking, communication, and problem solving. They've worked with organizations like ABSA, and he's also an editor at Backpackers, which is a multimedia publication following Afro-Lenny. You know, those African millennial travelers as they seek adventure through Africa. Bongani, how are you?
Good on yourself.
I'm doing all right. Thank you for joining us on today's show. You know, for the people that are listening, especially the Wits community, can you just give us a little bit around, you know, your academic background? I understand that you were in development, you know, studies and the like. So can you give us that background?
Okay, so I started studying at at Wits in 2014, and I did my undergrad in BA, and I majored in political science and history, and then I did my honors in development studies, so politics, economics, research, labor, and all of that stuff. My interest was always in looking at ways in which development policy can uplift young Africans in particular, and it's also linked to my passion of working in education. So, yeah, the I think my honours degree was certainly a lot more impactful than my undergrad. I barely remember anything from my undergrad years.
Yeah.
I used to skip lectures all the time. I can't remember attending tutorials.
Oh, wow.
My marks were really mediocre in first and second year. And then in third year, I was like, hey,
you're smart.
And then I woke up because I wanted to get into honours. So worked really hard in third year. And then honours is where my true passion lies in terms of my educational background.
Yeah. Before you got to Wits, what's the story? How did you actually end up here? Where did you go to high school? Where did you go to primary school? Where were you born? let's take it all the way back.
Okay, so today is my mom's birthday, by the way.
Aww.
So it starts with her, I guess.
Yeah.
Very unlikely encounter with her and my dad. They met in Phalaborwa in Limpopo.
Yeah.
I was born in Lebowahom in Limpopo.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Mpumalanga to a small town called Malelane, where I grew up with my grandmother for the first 5 years of my life, where I would harvest the vegetables that I'd end up eating in a couple of days' time. And that was like the first 5 years of my life. Moved to Joburg in 2000, and I lived in the West Rand, and then I moved to the south of Joburg, which is my hometown in Alberton.
Yeah.
And I went to a school called Brackenhurst Primary and then Waterstone College for high school. Parents threw me into private school with all the boots and so on, and it was quite an experience. And my high school years were really, really great. And I remember always having a keen passion for entrepreneurship, but not really understanding what I could have done in high school. I had all these ideas like, should I start a landscaping company and do people's gardening? Should I do tutoring and all of that stuff? But it never quite clicked in high school.
Yeah.
So my biggest takeaway from high school is friendships, travel, and athletics more than anything else.
Yeah. So the business, Chumong, how did that end up starting? Was that something that was informed by your formative years or something that came later on?
So when I got to Wits University, as I mentioned, my undergrad is like a huge blur of skipping lectures and tutorials, which no one should do, by the way.
Yes.
I really, please do not skip that.
It's not
stuff.
Encouraging this behavior.
No, it's horrible. It's bad. I regret every minute of it. But I joined the Wits Debating Union on the first day of orientation week. And then I did debating, represented Wits for about 3.5 years. The first 6 months was amazing. I made a nationals final and then I lost the final. And then the next 2 years after that was horrible. It was a dark period in my life of making finals and losing, making this final, losing top 10 speaker, losing another final.
Ah.
So it was a pretty dark period of learning though. You know, I took a lot of lessons from that. And then in my third year of university, myself and my partner Bilo Ndlovu won the Pan African Debating Championships, which were held in Zimbabwe that year. And
my home country.
Pardon?
No, that's home for me.
Oh, are you from Gweru by any chance?
I went to school in Gweru, actually.
Yeah, that's where, at Midland State University.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay, so cool. That's where we won the competition. It's the largest debating competition in Africa.
Yeah.
And throughout that period,
Before you continue, so are you saying that at that time, you and your partner were like the best debaters
in Africa?
In Africa,
yeah. I also won the Pan African Public Speaking Competition that same year, so that night was a really great night.
And so, all those dark years
culminated in this one championship evening where we were crowned African champions. And it was an incredible, incredible moment. Highlight of my university journey entirely, because I always tell people that my actual degree is debating and not of that other stuff that I studied. So, but what we're doing during that period, there's this industry that exists in Joburg, right? It's like a shadow underground industry that no one knows about, where university debaters are often hired by private schools to come and coach their debating teams, right?
Really?
They pay top dollar for it.
Actually, you're right, because I did debate when I was in university, and yes, we would go and adjudicate.
Exactly. So in Joburg, it's a very lucrative industry.
All right.
In Cape Town, so-so, and then the rest of the country, people, like university students, don't even get paid for that type of work.
Yeah.
So what we realized, and I was a coach as well, my co-founder Tamipo was a coach as well, and we realized that debating gives high school learners, certain skills that they'll need to thrive in the 21st century. So yeah. The World Economic Forum calls them the competencies of the 21st century. That's critical thinking, it's problem solving, communication, collaboration,
yeah.
Citizenship and social awareness, and the sixth one is coding, right? Yeah. Debating offers you five out of six of those skills, and those are the first five that I mentioned, everything but coding, essentially.
Yeah.
And so we realized that this industry of private schools hiring university-level coaches gave them even more of an advantage as far as education goes, because now their learners were getting the 21st century skills that kids in government schools weren't getting.
Yeah.
So we then decided to start Timung, initially as a company that created debating programs for quintile 1 and 2 schools. So those are some of the poorer schools in South Africa, by partnering with companies and large organizations that have CSI funds to disperse to programs like that. And so we worked with the Ekurhuleni municipality, and in our first program, they paid us in coffee mugs and diaries, and that was it. We're doing it for passion. And I still have the mug to this day, still have the diary to this day, haven't yeah. opened it up. And then in the second project, they gave us like $2,000. We're like, oh, snap, okay.
This thing,
which was like very, very humble beginnings, because now $2,000 would... it's like our airtime budget.
Oh, wow.
But it's, yeah, so very humble beginnings. And then in 2017, we started working with APSA.
Yeah.
And that really catapulted our work to the next level.
Yeah.
And then we started working with Constitution Hill, Nelson Mandela Foundation, Weber Wenzel, the NBA in America.
Oh.
When they came to Africa, contracted us to do some work with young people as well.
Yeah.
So we've worked with all of these amazing organizations that have an interest in giving young people 21st century skills. And so our goal was to bridge that inequality gap between private school kids
yeah.
and government school kids. And yeah, essentially we've been able to achieve that with 3,500 youth in the last 4 years.
That is actually quite amazing. But I now have to ask, after being paid in coffee mugs once upon a time, and
yeah.
2,000 rand now being your airtime budget, etc. You don't have to tell us the numbers. You can if you want to. But as a business show, we need to know, are you guys making money?
Yes. Yeah. It's been an incredible last 4 years.
Yeah.
With ups and downs. So for example, 2017, we started the company in 2016, right? Very humble beginnings. And then 2017, I was nearly financially excluded from VIDS. I was actually one day away from being financially excluded until my mentor came along and paid half of my debt, which was a lot of debt at the time.
Yeah.
And so from then on, I was able to pay my tuition, able to support myself. And then we started investing in hiring staff and all of that stuff. So it's been an amazing last 4 years where all of the money that we've made, the profits that we've made, we've been able to plow back into product development, because we're trying to move away from just being a company that creates debating programs, but to become a full-fledged educational company for the 21st century. So it's been can't reveal the numbers, obviously. Yeah. We're not a listed company, but we've had incredible partners who have given us huge sums of money to be able to carry out the work that we want to carry out. And 3,500 kids in 4 countries requires a lot of capital.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of, I guess, the business model,
yeah.
You know, what do you get? What actually goes into it? Like, because you said that, you know, the 3,500 kids in the 4 countries, what are we looking at here in terms of, I guess, the cost structure? Is it travel?
Mm.
Is it travel? Is it getting professional speakers to come and hold classes? Like, what is it? What goes into it?
So it depends. We have different types of programs at Simung. So for tournament programs, for example, so let me give an example. Last year, we expanded our APSA project to the entire country, right? So we're able to run the project in all 9 provinces with about 500 kids.
Yep.
That program, typical expenses are traveling, so flying out to different provinces, catering, printing,
yep.
and hiring of staff. So finding university debaters in those cities to come and adjudicate, teach, and coach at schools in those cities and those towns and villages and so on.
Yep.
So that's what a typical cost structure looks like. We also have monthly overheads, but yeah, the clients don't need to know about that.
Yep.
But yeah, it's largely labor, printing, transport and catering. That's for a tournament.
Yep.
For holiday programs, it's basically the same thing,
yep,
minus the travel expenses, which aren't so expensive for holiday programs.
Okay. Yeah. So just switching over to the founding team.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us just around, you know, how many are you? You've already said that you, the partner that you had when you guys were the best debaters in Africa, is that who you started the business with?
Funny enough, not. But now she's a permanent employee at the company.
Oh, wow.
So she's one of the managers.
Yeah.
My co-founder is a guy called Tami Bowe, who is actually the guy that signed me up to debating in 2014 during orientation week in that big white tent next to next to Great Hall. He signed me up and said, the two most important things in your life will be debating and God. And I was like, that's really bold of you to assume. And he was right in the end. So he and I were debating partners at about two tournaments. First one, we didn't do so well. Second one, we did well. Then we started Simung.
Yeah.
The third partner is called Busi Mkumbuzi. And at the time, she was studying at UCT and only moved to Johannesburg in 2016, moved back to Joburg. She's from Soweto originally. And what she was able to do in Simung was to professionalize the business. Because what Tami and I had was the talent. We had the curriculum. We were able to build partnerships, but what she was able to do was to professionalize the business, everything from our finances, operations, but especially our marketing and branding.
Yep.
So in order, which, you know, we're really, really proud of, we've got incredible documentaries on YouTube from every single one of our programs, and those were her ideas, and those are some of the things that she guides. And obviously marketing and branding informs whether or not a client will want to work with us or not.
Yeah.
For example, she created our whole social media strategy. And when we started working with the Nelson Mandela Foundation, the CEO actually DM'd us on Twitter and asked us to meet up to create a program for the centenary. So those are the sort of things that she was able to do, really catapult our business to the next level. And yeah, without the three of us combining our talents, we never would have gotten where we are now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before I go for a break, I'm interested to then know, like, what your growing up life must have been like. Like, were you... Okay, because I understand the bold assertion that, you know, debating God. but growing up, what type of environment did you grow up in?
Because it's my mom's birthday.
Yes.
I wrote a long Facebook status where I was listing all the things she taught us. And growing up, I think moving around so much as a kid informed a large part of my current character. So living in Mpumalanga and working, tending to my grandmother's piece of land, for example, taught me a lot about work ethic.
Yeah.
Really taught me a lot about work ethic. My grandmother hates laziness and sloth behavior and all of that stuff. So she made me a very industrious person. Living with my parents, my father's the same as my grandmother, because that's his mother, I guess, must have traumatized him the same. he's also very big on work ethic and excellence and a high standard of excellence and performance and so on. Growing up with my mother, she taught me a lot about leadership and taking responsibility, which is very critical and important, especially when you're running a business, when you're leading a team and have to work with clients. And then growing up in the south of Joburg prepared me for, it gave me a love of traveling, which is one of my biggest hobbies right now, because the south of Joburg is probably the most multicultural part of Johannesburg entirely, right? You have all 11 cultural groups in South Africa. You've got people from all over Africa. You've got Portuguese, Greek, Lebanese communities who are there, Chinese communities who are there, Indian communities who are there. And you grow up around all of these cultures that form a very keen interest, or that it sort of formed a keen interest in me to want to see the world and understand it a lot more, because the South gave me like a microscopic view of what the world looks like.
Yeah.
And it inspired me to want to see where all of those guys came from.
Yeah.
And so, because it's multicultural, it also helps you navigate different cultures, especially in business when you're working with people from other countries as well. So, yeah, there's Mpumalanga, there's my parents, there's the south of Joburg.
Okay. So, it's been, that was a lot of information to take in. but we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back on the other side of this. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. We are with our brand new heavy for the month of February. That is Bongani Frank Masilela. Just giving us just some history, some background into his life and their business, which actually is doing quite a bit. He won't disclose, but he's saying that, you know, they're pretty healthy from a balance sheet point of view. But I now have to understand from you, how much reading or content consumption do you do? Because when I was in high school, I used to go and watch a lot of debating. You know, the traditional three-on-three sort of type debating, opening, middle, closing arguments, and the like. But then when I then went to university, it was parliamentary style debating, which was like another world on its own. But one of the things that I learned in my brief time, you know, doing debating is that you sort of have to come, you have to just know a lot about a lot, you know, so that, you know, what people throw at you, you're just able to have at least some type of an informed opinion. So what do you consume, or when you are at the peak of your debating, right? How do you keep up with it all?
At the time, what I liked is about my time in debating is that I was reading a lot of things that I like and a lot of things that I don't like.
Yeah.
And that's really, really important because it gives you a broad view of the world, of trends around the world, and so on. So, for example, one of the reasons why debaters are prized by consulting companies like McKinsey and Boston Consulting Group is exactly because of that. Debaters are always reading, and not just reading politics, not just reading economics, but you have to know a lot about healthcare, you have to know a lot about education, technology, law and governance, engineering, all of those things, because you're always given a topic 15 minutes before, prep for 15 minutes, and then present a 7-minute speech on something that you might not be studying. So that really incentivizes a culture of reading, a culture of plugging yourself into the world. And that's an incredibly important skill for the 21st century, where your degrees aren't going to count for much anymore. But what will count is how adaptable and flexible you are. And that requires a lot of reading and consumption of information from stuff that you like and stuff that you might not like.
So what are you reading at the moment, books-wise?
Books-wise, there is a book called The Startup Way that I'm reading right now, and it's about how companies can constantly innovate and maintain a startup culture no matter how big they are. Because a lot of the time, the mistake that companies make is that once you've passed maybe 3 or 4 years, you start treating yourself as this large thing, this boring, bureaucratic, solid thing, as opposed to going back to the principles and values that got you to where you are, which is flexibility, adaptability, experimentation, and testing things out in the market. So this book, Startup Way, speaks to that. Just like keep that culture of the startup alive for ever and ever. And a lot of large companies do that, such as Amazon, Facebook, and Google. They still treat themselves like they're only 2 years old, like they're desperate for our attention, and so on. So yeah, the book is quite valuable in that regard.
Are you still debating?
No. Oh, heavens no. I left 3 years ago as of this year in 2017. Debating is, it's such a weird space, man. Like, you either leave very early or you stay there for the rest of your life. And there are incredible people who are still debating at the age of like 35. Last year when I was working in China, there was a guy at the company I was working at, which is a debating academy. He's 46 and he still goes to debating tournaments, right? I, on the other hand, at the age of 22, decided that because I'd won what I wanted to win, got what I wanted to get out of the sport, it was time to leave and work with kids rather. So it's been 3 years.
I don't know if people, you know, the listeners can hear it the way I'm hearing it in studio, but this man projects his voice very well. Like, you know, from the beginning, I was like, no, there's no doubt. No, this man is a debater. There's public speaking training that's going on here.
Yeah.
So do you have time for like fun and friends and like because you've told us about you know, the growing up, I guess the support that you had at home. So what type of circle do you keep around you?
The circle is, it's very small but broad.
Okay.
So I have my friends in the south of Joburg. Those are the guys I grew up with. And yeah. I try to see them once every 3 months.
Yeah.
But I always try and see them.
Yeah.
And then there are the friends that I went to university with. And I see them probably once a week or once every 2 weeks. But in terms of leisure, our project season usually starts around about this time, so Feb, March, and only ends in October. So during that period, there's not much time for rest, except I always go out for burgers at Hudson's in Parkhurst on Friday afternoons. That's like a tradition of mine and my friends.
Oh, wow, okay.
The burgers aren't that great, but the vibe is. But and then in December, I prefer to travel. So traveling yeah. is a very, very big thing for me. In 2018, myself and my friend Dumi Mparanyane, who we run Blackpackers together, backpacked through East Africa and then basically documented that entire thing, created a blog, and we're dropping a podcast soon on our traveling exploits.
Yeah.
Last year, I lived in China for 2 months, and then I went to the Great Wall, skipped work for a couple of days to do that. So I'm very, very big on traveling. Every December from 2015 to 2018, I was in a different African country, mainly because of debating. So Zim, Ghana, Namibia, lost my passport in Namibia.
Oh, wow.
Spent 7 days partying while they were sorting out my passport. And then, very big on traveling for leisure.
Do you know how many countries you've been to?
I counted don't ask me why I took out my passport. Yeah. I took it out the other day and started counting.
Yeah.
16 now.
16?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the majority are in Africa?
Three in Europe,
yeah.
And then majority Africa, yeah. One Asia.
One Asia.
Yeah.
So so none of the Americas,
America keeps eluding me for some reason.
Uh-huh.
It just keeps, like, every time there's an opportunity. So 2 years ago, the NBA wanted us to go and do work in New York. And because I'd lost my passport in Namibia like 9 months before, I forgot to replace it. It just never occurred that I needed to replace my passport.
Yeah.
And so they hit us up and said, in 4 weeks' time, there's a thing happening. So I was like, oh my God, need to get my passport. And my passport only came the day after the project started.
Oh, wow.
So America just keeps eluding me.
It keeps eluding you.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Bernie to get elected.
How has traveling and, exposing yourself to all those different parts of the world perhaps informed the way that you either run your business or the lessons that you teach the kids that are on your courses?
For me, what it's done for me personally is remind me that the bag or the pie is big in South Africa, but it's much bigger in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
So with any business that you run, you want to have global ambitions. And what traveling does for you is that it exposes you to how other people work, how other people live, and how you could potentially work in those countries and markets at some point in time. What it does for the kids, I think having, you know, programs that are centered on global educational trends is very, very important, because we're trying to create African youth who can compete in the globe. And so it's very important that they see the people who are training them and creating their curriculums as people who are worldly themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very, very important for us. What it's also done is that it's gotten us to design our programs with the end goal of getting kids to travel. So for example, at the end of our academy classes this year, we're taking kids some to the UK, some to the Czech Republic.
Oh, wow.
Because we really think that exposure to tertiary institutions in other countries and debating circuits in other countries is very, very important. So, yeah, I really want to take the experience that I've had and then sort of package it and give it to as many young people in our programs as possible.
How far do you see Timon going? I guess your dream, or as founders, as a group, like, where do you guys see this thing going?
I think the dream for, and I'm not sure if I'm speaking for my partners, but for me personally, it has to be bigger than us, right?
Yeah.
And I see it being bigger than anything we've ever dreamt of in our entire lives. What we would like to make of the company is we'd like to make Timon synonymous with thinking in the 21st century, right? As soon as people think of the word think, or as soon as they think of 21st century skills, as soon as they think, you know, how are we going to prepare kids for a future that is uncertain, they need to think of Tsimung. That's just basically what we want to achieve. And we want to be the ones to drive that goal. And at some point, like I said, the company might be bigger than us and other people might have to step up and run the company, or we might continue running the company. But for its entirety, for the entirety of its lifespan, it has to be synonymous with thinking.
Thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Bongani saying that he wants, they want their company to be synonymous with 21st century thinking. When you think the word think, then you should be thinking of them. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back on the other side of this.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. We are rounding up our discussion with our brand new heavy Bongani Frank Masilela, who is a one of the founders of Tsimung. Just before the break, he was telling us how they want the company to have an impact and to be synonymous with 21st century thinking. So our tradition here on the Business Buzz is that with all our brand new heavies, we want to know, what do you want your legacy to be?
Okay. Three things.
Okay.
Great uncle. Great father.
Yeah.
I don't have any kids yet, but one day.
Yeah.
But the final one is, one day I dream of working in public service. So ideally being Minister of Education.
Yeah.
And my legacy, whether it's in private sector or government when I'm like 40 or 50, is just someone who had a huge impact on creating an African way of teaching and educating.
Yeah.
I have a lot of faith in the work that we're doing in Tsimung right now. I have a lot of faith with the thinking that schools in Africa are doing right now, a lot of thinking that governments are doing right now, and I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to monopolize the narrative on transforming education in Africa, but I want to be one of the team players in the 21st century who are the reason why 100 million kids can think critically, 100 million kids can code, 100 million kids can do any job, no matter what the qualifications are, simply because they were given the right skills and that I was a part of that. So uncle, father, and educational legend.
So that's been us. It's been a very interesting discussion. Thank you so much to our brand new heavy, that is Bongani Frank Masilela, who is one of the founders of Tsimung. It's a very interesting business, simply because in all my years doing this show, I've never heard of anyone turning public speaking, debating, and those type of skills into a business. So I think it's quite innovative. The other thing that I particularly liked was the fact that he admitted that debating is one of those things that sort of forces you to have to consume a lot of content and interdisciplinary content. It's not just economics, it's not just technology. You just have to read, you know, all across the board, healthcare, education, anything. And I think that's one of the best things about it, broadening your mind. And I think it's quite great that they are working to actually bridge that gap between some of the skill sets that are typically found in your public school, in your private school, and bringing them out to public school environments. And the other takeaway is the fact that there's certain skills that once you have it, because I think no matter where he goes, when he speaks, you're going to hear that he projects and he speaks. I told him off air that he speaks in a very measured way. He keeps pace. Like, it's fast. He speaks, you know, it's a good pace, but it's measured and it's the same tone. And I'm like, yeah. So that's been it. Thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you guys if they want to work with you guys, or perhaps find you guys online?
So either visit our website, www.tsimung.co.za. LinkedIn is also pretty great. So Bongani Frank Masilela, Tami Powe, who's my partner, Busim Kumbuzi, who's my partner as well. They can also email us at info@tsimung.co.za, or my email address, bfmasilela@tsimung.co.za.
Okay, cool.
Anything but Instagram.
So that's been it. You heard that's how you can get in touch with them. Anything but Instagram. That's what you say.
But follow us.
But follow us. Yeah. So that's been it in terms of today's show. Thank you so much to Bongani for joining us and being our first brand new heavy for the year of 2020 and just blessing us with his presence and his knowledge. So that's been it. Remember that you can follow us on social media. We offer our FM, that's Voice of Viz. And you can also find our other Facebook page, that is the Viz Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VarFM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. You can also find our podcast on iono.fm. And remember that our other content is on viz.journalism.co.za /business. So that's been it. Thank you so much to our team. Our technical producer is Kotlwano Serame, together with our executive producer, Glory Mabuza, together with our producer Ntando. So that's been it. Remember that you can catch us next time, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Definitely make sure you don't turn that dial. Coming up next is the team from Living Electro. So for myself, Mudio Mob, Justice Kavaza, and the team, it's good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.